ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه، أما بعد. الحمد لله. إن شاء الله tonight we'll continue in أسماء الله الحسنى, the beautiful names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is a talk that we always, or I always, come out of it of looking and trying to gain some information about the name of Allah that we're going to talk about. It's always a process that is that opens the heart and opens the mind. And it is a process that gets us close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a process that with it, we have enjoyment. And the enjoyment that's in it is constant. The name and attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala today is going to be, inshallah, Al-Qabidu Al-Basit. Al-Qabidu Al-Basit. Two names. And scholars like to talk about those two names together, not separated. Because one, first we talk first about what basically in language, in English, what this means. Al-Qabid has to do with something like Al-Akhidh, the one who takes. The one who takes. Al-Basid, the one who gives and spreads. Al-Qabid, the one who takes and holds. And the Al-Basid is the one who gives and spreads. So the scholars like to talk about those two names together. Because if you talk about one and not the other, it shows the power of Allah. Allah al-Qabid, the one who takes and holds. That shows the power of Allah. If you talk about the one who gives and spreads, al-Basit, it shows the power of Allah. But when you talk about both of them together, it indicates the power of Allah and the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the talk that scholars like to talk about both of them together. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the talk about Al-Qabid wa Al-Basit in the Quran about first Al-Rizq, or one is Al-Rizq, the sustenant and what is written for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it with a measure. Allah holds it from you, and no matter what you do, it doesn't come. But then Allah gives it to you and spread it for you, and you don't know when it is coming, but it comes. He takes it with measure and gives it with measure. As one poet, Arab poet, was saying, غَرَّبْتُ خَلْفَ الرِّزْقِ وَهُوَ مُشَرِّقُ. I went west after the rizq. I found him going east. Okay? وَأُقْسِمُ إِذَا شَرَّقْتُ لَوْجَدْتُهُ مُغَرِّبُ. And he said, I swear if I go east, I'll see him going west. Okay? So, here is a rizq that is given. Allah, we go in our lives and we know that the rizq Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds it and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it. Before we go in all of that, there is a condition that a believer is in. Goes between two conditions. And inshallah you recognize that when I talk about it, inshallah. The the feeling of best with your relationship with Allah. You find yourself, your heart is open, you're happy, you are enjoying the prayer, enjoying the act of worship, and in a way of best, in a feeling of this best. And then sometimes you feel qabd, okay, that you feel down. You feel like the feeling of bust is not here. And you don't know where it went, where did it go, how did you did it leave you, how you get it back, and so forth. Is everyone familiar with this? Okay. So I thought I'll say that first before I get to it at the end, so you know, no one will leave now. So now also al-qabd, so inshallah we'll talk about this point, inshallah. So now, also, al-bast, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about al-sahab, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yubsituhu, He spreads it. Al-sahab, the clouds. And how the clouds are, takes the water, the rain, with a measure. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will spread it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold it. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who yaqbudu al-arwah, that He takes the soul, He takes it and keeps it. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that yaqbudu al-layl, that Allah takes the night. So the night is taken to Allah, or Allah takes it and then brings and spreads the day. The day is spread for you and the night is taken away from you. And then the day is taken away from you and the night is spread for you. So Allah is the one that takes and spreads, and يُقَلِّبُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ, then changing and rotating days and nights. Now when we talk about al-qabidu in a way of your chest, and al-basit in the way of your chest, in the way of your soul, your nafs, which make you feel good or bad, down or up, in happiness or kind of sadness. There is a situation with the one who disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that those who are on the wrong path, they are in a constant way of qabd. And they try to find al-bast in ways that they will never be able to find it. So they'll find it, try to find it in this dunya through
alcohol,
yes, drugs, parties, whatever it is, a false, trying to get, looking for a genuine sense of basta, and in a direction which is in a falsehood. So they will never find it. And this is not the talk about, because that is obvious. That is, we know that these who are on this path, they are have a constant way of qabd. But we are now talking about the way of basta and qabd with the believer. Okay. Here is a mu'min, goes around, and he feels close to Allah. Everything that he does seems to work out, being very effective in da'wah, feels that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses him in his way, very happy and very glad that in this kind of a mood and situation and path. And then all of a sudden you find yourself down. you find the qabd, who gets a hold on you, then you don't enjoy as much that what you used to do in a way of prayer, in a way of obedience to Allah. You're not as effective in da'wah. You know, it's not working out anymore. And then you stay like this for a while, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send to you the basta one more time. And then you get back the good way again. Now, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This feeling is given to you by Allah. Both of them are given to you by Allah. Well, that feeling, Allah gives it to you and hold and take it away from you. Okay? So now we know that all we do is become patient with this. But why is this happening, according to scholars? Why is this happening, and what can you do about it? So remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you find two names like this together, opposite if you will, you know it is happening because of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for you and the gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. It is not for a harm, it is for a benefit. So what seems to be harm or seems to be less, it is for your benefit. At what seems to be more, it is for your benefit. So what could be the harm from being in basta? Anyone? Okay. That's risk. But in the way of Allah, you're going in the way of Allah. You're not doing anything bad. You're going in the way of Allah. But then okay. The scholar says that it is kind of, you get used to it, but to the point of arrogance. Right? To the point of arrogance. Meaning, to the point of you're taking it for granted. Right? You're saying, I am it, you know. Allah have chosen me for this, and everything I'm doing is working. Right? So here is people are coming and saying shahada, you know, when they listen to you. Right? Here is people are complimenting everything that you say. Here is everything you touch in this work, and it's all good. There's nothing bad in this. But when you start looking at this in a way of your head start to become high and your back becomes straight, right, and so forth, then Allah will hold it back from you. Because Allah loves you. Because now you are closer to harm than benefit. Okay? So the bust, you'll be in it until you get close to what would be the in English the word in, huh? Threshold of what? What the feeling of arrogance maybe? Or too much confidence and so forth? Or huh? Yes. Edge into that. Meaning now it is, you almost saying now it is, you know, I'm doing this. It's not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Or I deserve it. Yeah. Yes. You know, or you maybe not that much, but you think that now Allah is pleased with you and nothing could go wrong, and you are good. Okay. So Allah will hold it back from you, and when it's held back from you, then you might go too low, and the too low is given up, al-ya's, giving up, saying this is never going to come back, saying that you're giving up in that mercy of Allah that used to touch you. And that is another extreme. So before you reach there, Allah will open up for you again. Okay? So we're all going between those two. Okay? Now, so when we are in one qabd, we just practice patience and do not reach too low. And when we are in basta, practice, visit our intention and bring everything back to Allah and do not go too far. And how do we do that? We weigh our deeds. Now, what kind of measure are you using to weigh your deeds? Tell me what kind of measure you have, and I'll tell you how much belief you have. Okay? Or anybody will, or you tell yourself how much belief you have. Okay? How? You know, there are trucks, when you go on the highway, they tell you there is a way in, a place to weigh trucks, right? If you go walk and stand on it, will it register anything? No. Okay? So if you're walking around with this kind of measure, you are a loser. That means you could do many things and it's not going to register. Okay? There are those who weigh with a scale of gold, or weigh a gold with a scale. You know where that scale, they put it? You put it in what? Yeah, you put it in a box, glass, opens it up and put the stuff in and then close it and see what will happen, okay? And maybe any fans or air conditioning, they turn it off, okay? So, you know, so the measure will be very sensitive. Okay? There are scales that you get a piece of paper, you put it on it, it registers a certain weight. Take the piece of paper, write something on it, and put it back, and it will give you a different weight. Okay? Now, when you have that kind of scale, we say, okay, now you are a believer. Okay? Meaning in a high level. Now, this basta that you have is measured very well. Okay? It's not going to get out of hand. And if you are in qabd, it was measured very well, it's not going to get out of hand. And whatever it is that you do, not whatever it is, the number of things that you weigh, it becomes so many and so, what do you call it, so fine. So many and so fine. Okay? Someone that would walk around and think that, you know, having a scale weighing heavy things only, say, you know, I did not curse anyone today, you know? And that is the scale he's measuring, right? I prayed my five prayers today, okay? And so forth. And someone will take this scale and refine it a little more and say, I missed one sunnah today, okay? And someone will refine it even more and say, there is some moments today that the remembrance of Allah in my heart was not there in some moments because I was busy with other things. And some will even refine it more, okay? And saying in some moments I did not remember Allah enough. Not yes or remember or not remember. Remember Allah enough, okay? Now, When you have that scale, or when you train ourselves to go up and refine these scales and have a more sensitive scales, that is the taqallub bayn al-bast wal-qabd, the moving back and forth between qabd and bast is going to be not with the month and weeks and so forth. It might be moments here and there, but you will be able to measure that as well. And also, Allah might give you the gift of finding out now when you can get the bust and qabd because of things that you yourself are doing. So it is not a qabd because of someone is making a great mistake, but or a great sin, but it's a qabd because of something that is work of the heart, work of the mind, work that is hidden, work that you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only knows. That is a very fine, a very beautiful relationship with Allah to live with on this earth. It's a very beautiful relationship to live with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this earth. So we need again to train ourselves to weigh the what seems to be insignificant. What seems to be insignificant. And there are those who train themselves so much that they are in the qabd of this life is so much and the bust with Allah is so much. Okay? Meaning the physical dunya to them is taken away in a way that is so much of it, meaning what they have is so little of it. But what they have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way of basta with the relationship with Allah is so much of it. Okay? So the scale that they are using has nothing to do with... Are you losing anything? Did you lose anything? Okay, where is the microphone that's here? Can I have it, please? Yes. Let me have it, please. Oh, no, bring me the whole thing. Yeah, bring me the whole thing. Okay, just put it here, inshallah. The reason I'm asking you because someone found this and brought it to me, I think it belongs to it. Huh? Yes. Yes, inshallah. So the way of qabd of this dunya will be so much, but the scale that this person has is not weighing, this dunya is not in his scale, period. Okay? This dunya is not in his scale, period. The way of qabd has nothing to do with this dunya. It has to do with that sensitive heart or mind and chest that is open with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. Okay. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes from us this dunya, and we're still in this basta of relationship with Allah, of being Allah's rahmah, and this feeling is spread in our heart and our chest and in our mind, now that is even more pleasurable feeling. That is a way of, but again, it is pleasure in a way of not close to, you know, the way of looking at yourself. But it is looking at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mercy has upon you. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by the companions once, this is, Ya Rasulullah, things are getting expensive. Sa'ar lana. What is sa'ar in Arabic? Price it. Yes, meaning you put the price. Nobody can go up and down because things are getting expensive. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna Allah huwa al-khaliqu, al-qabidu, al-basitu, al-musa'ir. Okay? He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's the one who created, He's the one who holds, He's the one who gives and spreads, and he's the one who determined the price. Anyone would like to make a comment about what's going on today? in the you know.
Pick up the price and not the price.
Yes. So here is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, here is, you know, you leave everything as it is, and you decide things. You decide you're going to buy something, okay, to sell it. So you try to measure how much of it is going to be in the market, right? So you buy it with a certain price, and then you want to sell it with a certain price, but then all of a sudden you find that so much of this product around, the price that you put on it is not going to work. You have to bring it down. Or the other way around. It is a market of you know, supply and demand, exactly. Okay, so this is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works out things. So again, with this sense, okay, we look at this dunya. Okay, there some things will be around us in abundance, and therefore we will get it in an easy way. And sometimes it will be so little of it, and it will be difficult to get it. But it is not, you know, we should not say that or rebel against that. We should not say things that put us in a non-acceptance kind of a feeling or a situation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that measures, gives, and takes. Okay. Now, Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him so much. So from the basta that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is majami' al-kalim, that the collection of words. This Allah give Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam abundance of that. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say few words and it will have so much effect, and you can talk about it for hours because it's a collection of words. Okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give some of us basta in certain things and will hold back on us in other things. And in this life we'll find those who have what we do not have, and they miss what we have. Okay. So when we in a situation of being able to give, so we practice this. We practice that we spread what Allah has given us on others. Okay, and doing so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will spread on you that which is holding back on you. Okay, so this balance, okay, that we are in all our lives, where it's a constant balance. Okay. And there are some who go through life, do not even know what's going on, do not even realize this. Meaning that they're not conscious with the attributes of Allah around them. So they go in qabd and bust and ups and downs and things like that, and they curse and they kick and they, you know, and they have no idea what's going on. Okay? So it is, and some Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them the gift of understanding. So you will be able to understand things that you never did understand before. You'll see events that happen to you and around you, and you'll be able to look at it with a completely different eye. You'll be able to take it in a way that you never was able to take it before. You can even expect what comes next by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there is a theme in this, okay? There is a theme, and you might not know the wisdom, but you know that this is happening with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, there's scholars say, you know, every time my dabba, meaning my donkey or my horse, then music, it acts up, meaning it's not listening to what I'm trying to get it to do, I check myself right away. Okay, meaning what did I do? Okay, he gets his scale out. He gets his scale out. Okay. And, you know, every time, you know, he said that his wife giving him a difficult time or having a difficult time with his wife. That's not his wife giving him. He having a difficult time. What a nose fault it is, but it's not the issue. Meaning that when there is a family problems and so forth, then he would bring his scale out, okay? See what's going on. See where he stands. See, you know, and as Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, there are some who would commit a kabira, and it will be like a fly on his nose. He'll just move his hand like that. And some will commit a saghira, a small sin. Kabira is a big sin. Saghira, a small sin, and it will be like a mountain of Uhud over his shoulder. Okay? This is a completely different scale that is being used. So, again, we'll summarize what we said, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who holds, the one who gives and spreads. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives that rizq with the measure. He holds it and he spreads it. When he's holding it, it's good for you. When he spread it, give you a lot, it is good for you. But when Allah holds, he's not a miser. When Allah has spent, he does not overspend for no reason. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has the knowledge, has the power, and he has the wisdom. So all of this happening with specific measure. So we cannot think otherwise in that. Okay? We cannot put question marks on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing. We can put question marks on how we understand it. Or we don't know the wisdom behind it. But not to question it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spreads the clouds and the rain. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spreads the day and takes the night with a specific measure for us to get light and get comfort at night. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put a mechanism in us, so those who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are in a constant way of qabd, and they don't know what to go, where to go, and what to do. So they seek avenues that are haram to get bust. And the false sense of bust comes to them, but it's never a genuine one. But our talk has been about mostly the believer that has a genuine bust, but then have qabd as well. And we said the bust stops because of a fear of arrogance, and the qabd stops because of fear of yes, of giving up in the mercy of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He loves you, give you basta. And because He loves you, give you qabd. So when you find yourself in a way of qabd, you practice patience. And you know that bust is coming. But now it is time to get your scale out. And we talked about how sensitive the scales should be. And this is a process of a lifetime. A process of a lifetime that is constant. And the more we measure, the most seems to be insignificant and light matters, the more we are closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we talked about the rizq in general and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it to mankind and how it comes in a supply and demand. It is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, we do not complain. We just take it as it comes. And then we talked about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives some of us basta in certain things, and hold back on us and other things. And we all complement one another in that. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us, He will send us someone who needs basta in something that we have. So we should be generous with what we have. May Allah be generous with us with what we do not have. So inshallah, if you would like to make any comments, inshallah, or ask questions, inshallah. Yeah, see if this is belong to it. It is, you sure? You don't have to wait for the microphone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was kidding, hold on. Because you're going to be recorded now. No. Inshallah. Huh? SubhanAllah. Yes. You found it on the floor?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Barakallahu barakatuh. It's probably because it cannot go in the other machine with it. Yes. Yes, that's fine.
That's why they
yes, that's fine. It's working, alhamdulillah. Okay. Go ahead. Okay, go ahead, ask inshallah or make a comment. Were you the one who was talking? No. Okay, go ahead. No. That's a good question. The Asma'ullah are tawqifiyya. Okay? Asma'ullah tawqifiyya. The names of Allah. Does that mean one of the names of Allah, Al-Musa'ir, the one who prices things? Okay? Yeah. So, no. Asma Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are tawqifiyya, meaning we do not make up ism from Asma Allah or sifa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that will mention it for us and we take it. Okay? There are ways, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can drive some names to Allah from what Allah describes Himself with. But in that which is only good. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Yamkuruna wa Yamkurullah, they make planning in a hidden way and Allah does too. So we cannot say Allah is Al-Makir. Why? Because that name could mean something good or something bad. And Allah's names are only good. Okay? So there are ways to get to the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it has to be given to us by Allah or Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We do not make it up ourselves. Okay? So, here the word al-musa'ir meaning is the one who does this action. It doesn't mean that it's a name or an attribute of Allah. Okay, the one who gives that or does this action. Okay, jazakallah khair.
Something else can be called musa'ir.
Yes. Yes, but also, there are names that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هو الخالق. But then Allah says, وَهُوَ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِ تَبَارَكُ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. He's the best of creator. That means Allah did not deny for you to be creating as well. But He is the best of creator. Yeah. He created out of nothing. But you're making things from something that Allah created. Allahu
a'lam. Asma Allah al-Husna, as you mentioned,
No. No, it is. We do not give Allah these names at all. But Allah has, He does everything, okay? But not everything that Allah does, we derive a name from it. Okay? Okay? Not everything that Allah does, we derive a name from it. Okay? Because the name has to have qualifications. The names have to be only in goodness. It has no evil in it. Okay, even Allah Subhanahu wa Taala will not talk if something purely evil, not does, has two good and bad. Then Allah Subhanahu wa Taala will not use it at all. Like when Allah Subhanahu wa Taala talks about they betrayed you, like they betrayed that though that the like they betrayed those before you. So Allah, what do you want to say now? Allah betrayed them, right? But betrayal here is only bad. It cannot be, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead of say, you use the word khana or khiyana, Allah said, فَأَمْكَنَ مِنْهُمْ. So Allah caused them to be caught. See? So when it comes to, in the Arabic, as it fits, they did this to you, so Allah, and Allah will not say, did the same thing to them. Because if it's all in evil, then Allah will not use even the action. Even the action. So He will say, He caused them to be caught instead of saying, betrayed them. Okay? But even when Allah does something, and if it has connotation of good and bad, we cannot drive a name from it. No. Yeah. Allahu A'lam. والرافع نعم والمزيل نعم yes it is Allah does them both at the same time, as at the beginning we were talking. Did you come earlier? Yeah. Yeah. They're both together. It is not, if you use one and not the other, then you are given an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of the qudra, the ability. Okay? But the ability goes with the wisdom and knowledge, right? So when you use both words, both attributes together, it shows the ability and knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah does not raise you up just to raise you up, only for that purpose. It's to raise you up because Allah is teaching you a lesson, Allah loves you, Allah is benefit for you. But the time will come when Allah puts you down. Because what's good for you now, it's put you down. Okay? So, Allah is al-khafid wal-rafi. Okay? Al-mu'izz give you dignity, but at the same time, and sometimes, this dignity is going to be harmful to you at this moment. So, you'll be humiliated a little bit. So, you'll stay within the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, I don't know if this answers your question.
But just absolutely that's true, but we have to remember that this is for the believers. Mm-hmm. For the kuffar or the doesn't believe in Allah, Allah says, well, we do lahum madda. Allah can give it and give it and give it from whatever they have until they reach feed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or Allah could be believed in this life, you know. خزيهم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة لهم عذاب عظيم. He will let them have to teach them a lesson here. The punishment will come from on the kuffar.
The microphone, because there are some sisters who complained last time that could.
Okay, I have it with me. So the this kind of holding back a little bit and give you a little bit and then holding back for us, you know, for the people who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and could be for the one, like you once you said, Sheikh Mahmoud, you have a little cold, you know, and then a flu, and then you get cancer. Once you get cancer, you are done, you know. So for the non-believers, Allah يَمُدُّ لَهُمْ مَدَّ, give them until they reach destiny, you know, finish, or he will lead them, you know, this life as a punishment. So wallahu alam. I mean, that's
I can add a comment to that one. Like if we look at Fir'aun, because if person has money and he keeps being rich and rich and rich, he wouldn't think of Allah. But let's say I'm talking about a non-believer. If a non-believer is poor, and then when somebody falls in a bad situation, like when a child is happy, the child would never think of his parents, but when the child falls down or gets sick, and then, mommy, where are you? So if a person is poor, a non-believer, and then they say, maybe there is Allah, you know, they get to think of it, but then Allah tests them with money. So maybe Allah gives them money and the money till a point that they think that there is, you know, they don't stop and think. But if they were poor, they would have been like, maybe, you know, I should pray Allah and maybe it's the right path.
Yeah,
that's why.
A man came to the gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he complained about something, and he mentioned it. So, someone asked, "What is it?" Okay, so he did not understand it. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Ala tasda? Don't you get a headache?" Because that was what the man meant. He's getting very bad headache. So he is this man, you know, he does not even know what that means. He never experienced it. He said, Ala tasda? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told me, don't you get a headache? He said, no. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who does not get a headache is a shaitan. A short session today, and then. It's okay for the need of you know, da'wah, yes, the need of language, okay? But we should not use any other words that would have, of course, this is unacceptable, period. And if you give, if the, you know, we know the Christians and Jews and people in general, what to them, God is a creator, you know, and he cannot be seen and cannot be heard and so forth, and, you know, is unseen. But there are some who give names to Allah, names of things that are tangible for them. It goes into shirk. So we cannot go there. Yeah. But you know, we also can, you know, usually say the word Allah, you know, and then say, you know, if I say Allah in my word, you know, in my discussion, you know what I mean by that is the creator of the heaven and the earth. Okay? So God, if I might say God, I might say Allah. So, you know. No?
Don't we say don't we say Ummun al-Ard, our mother earth?
No. Only those who you know, in a way of poems and things like that, meaning you came from it, the earth you came from it, so therefore, she's your mother in a way, you know, but you know, because Allah created you from it, yeah.
Some things that were taught in school in Arabic, Ummun al-Ard, Yawm al-Ard, Yawm Ummun al-Ard.
Yeah. And you see what happened to us. Yes.
I said Mother Nature. What a cruel mother. What a mother.
Here is mother. Referred to the nature as a mother and then mother. The attribute of cruelty.
Yeah, you I know? Mean,
it is, what, you, what is it? I mean, if this is cruel not mother. Confusion.
Confusion,
of
complete confusion. They have no idea what's going on.
Can you imagine those who refer to these events and these things, especially when it happens to people, is from Allah? They are attacked so much that they're never in the arena anymore. They call them, you know, evil and confused and all of this. And they say, you know, you're referring to God is doing all of this? You know, God is, you know, and wal'iyadu billah, God is bad or cruel to do this? You see that? You know? Yeah. Yes.
For Muslims.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. I didn't know that.
So you say these are things that we put in test and accept.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's something that's useful.
It's
been used
for.
You don't refer to your country as mother.
Yeah.
You don't do that.
No.
Country mother.
Well, in Arabic, this word is used in general.
Yeah.
But it's used in a way that the greatest of things. Something is the greatest of things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word in the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fihi ayatun muhkamat hunna ummul kitab. In the Quran, ayat that is muhkamat, and they are the the mother of the Quran. Okay? So in this sense, it is used. In a way, you know, whatever event, whatever anything, the most of it and the abundance of it or the source of it will be used as a mother of so and so. So in this sense, yes. But
الطبيعة الأم
nature, there is no
nature الطبيعة الأم. This is a shirk.
This is shirk. Yeah.
Shirk. And this is after only Darwin and stuff like that. They start talking about this. Mm-hmm. Before that, there was no tabi'a and this is just to attribute something belong to Allah, to attribute to something is nothing. We don't know what they are referring to. What's tabi'a al-um? What's the mother nature?
It's very English. Even if you try to translate it to Arabic or French, it doesn't mean exactly what
did. Tabi'a al-um and stuff like that.
The Arabs say al-tabi'a, the nature.
Tabi'a.
Yeah.
That's okay, that's an expression.
It could be
okay.
Yeah, Egypt is the mother of the whole world, and some says, and it is the father as well.
So, subhanallah, Sheikh Mahmoud, al-basit, al-qabid wal-basit, it's in everything. If you look around, you know, you see it in everything. You see it in the ocean. You see it in the temperature. You see it in the day and night. You see it in your heart, in your soul, in rizq, everything, everywhere. Yeah. Allah,
in breath, not leave, in and out. Yeah,
right. He did not leave anything without. In the health, you know, you get healthy, you get some sick, or you get healthy again. You know, there is the charts all over the place. If you look in the charts, in the financial charts, production charts. Companies, health, anything in the world. There is nothing go up all the time. There is nothing go down all the time.
Constant change.
Constant going ups and downs, and downs. There is nothing, constant, like never change, you know. So this is subhanAllah, it's a sunnah of Allah.
Yes.
It's not only, you know, rizq.
How the world is created.
Right.
Allah, this innate part of it that constantly changing up and down.
Yeah, subhanAllah, it's in everything you could think about. It's Allah, al-qabid al-basit. SubhanAllah.
Yeah, as you said, even the heart.
Yeah.
What do you say?
Oscillation, fluctuation.
Yeah.
Like an oscillation.
Yeah, you cannot go complete constant like this, flat. You know, always ups and downs.
Alaykum as-salam. You talking to me or?
Okay. I think about.
Did you say that?
It's from Allah, you mean. Yeah.
Oh, from Allah everything happened?
You said that everything that you can think of, it's Allah.
No. Oh, I said Qabid al-Basit. We were talking about you was not here. About yeah. I said yes. It's everything. Everything I think of, it's from Allah. The same thing.
Yeah, what we were saying, how Allah holds and spreads, takes and so forth. So he was saying, everything. Yes.
Right. Yeah, it's not. We were. The subject was talking about money and rizq. So everything created.
When you know Lu'ay and how he thinks and how the words comes out of his mouth, you know what he means exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Jazakallah khair.
What did I mean?
No.
Okay.
No, he said
everything.
Just one second. We'll be clear.
He
repeats the word. It's Allah, meaning this action is by Allah. This is what he means. Yeah. Yes. It's Allah who does that. Yes. You want to give the microphone so the sisters will hear, inshallah?
I just wanted to clarify why I thought that was.
Turn it on.
What's the word, brother? Pantheism.
Mm-hmm.
Pantheism, from my understanding, means that it's a very old concept that. Everything is Allah, ma'adallah. I don't want to repeat this, but I'll just say this once, that inshallah, that everything, they believe that everything is Allah, part of Allah, and Allah is part of everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the Sufis.
So you can worship anything and you'll be worshiping Allah. This is what they...
I don't know if they extend it to that, but...
Their philosophy goes into that direction.
That's a Sufi concept as well. It's called Wahdatul Wujud in Pakistan, at least. So I just want to clarify that you didn't mean that everything that you can think of, it's Allah.
Yeah.
You meant it's from Allah.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
The Sheikh said that that's what you meant. It's Allah who is doing it.
Yes.
Right. It's, it was a shocker for me, sorry.
Well, shirk and kufr are the same.
Shirk is a form of kufr.
Yeah.
Kufr is the general term. Shirk is a specific form of kufr.
Well, the
shahada again.
If the shirk is mentioned by itself, then kufr is included. Yeah. If kufr mentioned by itself, shirk is included. When shirk and kufr mentioned in one ayah, then there's specific meaning for this and that. But both. Are you asking if
I'm just asking about that statement that they say the laws of everything.
Yes, it is. Yes, because now you're saying that Allah is within His creation. Allah is not within His creation, and this understanding must be clear to all of us. Allah is away from His creation physically, but Allah is with His creation with His names and attributes. Okay? So when you do not qualify...
You mean with His powers?
Yes. No, the names of attributes, yes. All the attributes of, you know, Al-Malik Al-Quddus, Al-Salam, Al-Mu'min, Al-Muhaymin, you know, and so Al-Alim. So, and this is the understanding of the Ahl-Sunnah Al-Jama'ah, that when a man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "I want to set my slave free." She said that she's a Muslim. She became Muslim, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called her, and he said to her, "Who am I?" She said, "Muhammad, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." And then he asked her, "Where is Allah?" She pointed up. It's above His creation, above His throne. So Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, "Let her go. She's a Muslim." Okay. So that understanding of Allah is above His creation, not within His creation, is very important. Because if we start going into that path, which is not the right path, not understanding, it will take us so far from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. See, there is some who says, if Allah is everywhere, then Allah is in me. Right? So when they say, Allah is in me, they even refer to the verse. They say, Allah is closer to us than the vein in our body. Right? Which is a verse from the Quran. Okay? But when Allah said, that means Allah is closer to you than yourself, meaning knowing what you're thinking, knowing everything about you, very close with His knowledge and wisdom and so forth. This is close to you with His attributes. But they do not qualify, they just say it like that. And then, you know, you go to those who went astray completely, they say, then if Allah is in me, who I'm praying to? Okay. So now, if Allah is in me, then therefore, why should I pray? And who am I praying to? Okay? And will somebody pray into me? You understand? And you get into these, you know. But the point is, I'm just giving you some extreme, okay? to show you that, and this is not, it's not made up. It is actual things that people reached, okay? And so, if you go into this, some will tell you, you know, here is, when we sit here with someone close to Allah and close to them, what does that mean? It means, you know, close to Allah, Allah's attributes, His rahmah is close to you, His knowledge is close to you, and so forth, right? But there is someone, if they say Allah is everywhere, then this will come to them. It's close, meaning really Allah is close to them. So therefore, if you would like anything, then maybe you want to look for someone that Allah is close to. You understand? You don't go to Allah now, you go to someone who's close to Allah. Right? And if this someone close to Allah dies, what happens? You go to his grave. And this is basically what the people go to the grave and make dua and so forth, is because of that. You know, this person was close to Allah than us, so therefore we're going to get close to Allah through him. You understand? And now he is in his grave desperate to get close to Allah. You understand? To ask, yes. To ask someone who's alive to make dua for you is acceptable. But to ask someone who is dead, maybe you need to make dua for him. That has, you know. Yeah, Allah. Yeah, in case there are any sisters there, so they would know here, inshallah.
It has nothing to do with the subject of al-halaqah, but talking about people visiting or asking for a blessing from the dead, it's crazy. Jamil Mawasim. What's the mawasim?
When they make hajj to...
season, yes.
They
I am...
They make hajj in Iraq from the shrine to this, to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where are
the
guys?
Don't
never hear about this?
The Shiite people do that a lot.
Yeah, they make hajj in Iraq.
Yeah. Not
hajj, but, you know, they visit the...
Hajj, pilgrimage.
They call it pilgrimage?
Yeah. Well, they call it pilgrimage, yeah. Yeah, they call it pilgrimage. The same thing in I'm from Morocco, and there are some I don't know how long some people have been dead, years and years, maybe hundreds of years, but every year they have what they call Mousim, and people come there and celebrate, and some people ask for children, some people ask for money, some people ask, it's just crazy stuff, and they believe in it. These are Muslim people. And I think the governments do support that kind of thinking, absolutely, because it's taking people away from the right path.
I have something to add to that.
Yes,
about the government supporting such institutions. Actually, I'm from
Be
Pakistan.
Careful, you're being recorded, so.
Yeah, everybody knows this. This is an inside information from the government circle. So it's I'm actually talking about the government of Pakistan. I'm from Pakistan. So what they have is a department of Awqaf, I think that's what they call it, and they get revenue from the shrines. People given the name of the saint who was, or they claim, sometimes they say it's not even a human being who's buried there. Sometimes it's just a carcass of some animal. Somebody said a donkey, and so it's not even an actual person. It's just a revenue generating sort of, it's just a business. So somebody would just set up this brick house around a mound of earth, and call it like a grave, of make up a name, call it the name of a saint.
Karamat
is.
This is an actual story that happened, with my father, may Allah bless his soul. He was an engineer who does project. He's having projects, and work, in different areas, and building bridges and things like that, and regulating water from the Nile and so forth. So he had a project very far away from the cities or even small villages. So he could not get people to get there and do the work. You have people, work and you dig with their own hands and things like this. So he was trying to get, subcontract certain part to subcontractors, and no subcontractor would like to get, because he cannot get anybody to work there. It's very far from everything. And one, he came to me and said, yeah, I'll take it. Are you sure? Yes. And made the deal with him and everything. And then, after a few days, my father goes, and plenty of people there and so forth. How did you get them there? He said, do you see this? He said, he built a darih, a maqam, right? And he would tell the people, we have a project. He said, where? He said, with the darah, sheikh so-and-so. Darih so-and-so. Okay, the barakah of the sheikh so-and-so. Yes, sure, right? And he collected many people. And as you said, maybe it was a donkey in there, that's or whatever it is in there. Yeah,
subhanAllah.
Yeah, or nothing in there, yeah. And actually we have in Egypt one writer. He was writing, he's from a village, growing up in a village, and he was telling a story of the darih of so and so, a name. But he said, I was wondering where is, who this person is, because all the villages around has the same darih, the same name, okay? And everyone is taking it, accepting it, no problem at all. So he was wondering, when we say somebody who has a karama, people will come, but this person, is everywhere, cannot be, huh? But the interesting thing is this. He said when he researched back in history and so forth, found out that when the British was in Egypt, there was many resistance, okay? And there was, resistance in hidden way and so forth, and groups here and there and fighting the British army and so forth. So there was one person who was the really loved to hold to get him, because he was causing a lot of problems, and the followed him. They don't know who he is, I mean, physically, his looks and so forth, but they knew that he is within a certain area. So they surrounded villages, and they started, they said, you know, give us a mark of, you know, how do we find him? So he was known that he was missing a finger. He was missing a finger, okay? So, according to his story, he said, so all the young men in his age cut their fingers off, okay? So they will not recognize who is who, right? So he will not be taken. So they said after that, any of these, you know, young men, when they die, they will build a shrine for them and call them with the same name as the person. You know? And that's how it spread. I'm just giving you, in history, a writer, he's making a research to tell you where these things coming from. It has nothing to do with what they claim.
Each graveyard has a saint, mm-hmm. saint's grave. And I have seen so many Peer Bukhari. Everywhere you go, there is the big saint's grave is Peer Bukhari.
The same person?
The same person, the same name. I have seen so many graves.
And such a generic name.
It is Peer Bukhari everywhere. So I don't know what further reason there.
It is a business.
My question is about intentions. Like before praying or doing or fasting, do you have like your intention? Do you have to spell it out? Do you say it? You know, say it like I intend to fast tomorrow, or I intend to pray right now, or something like for intentions for acts of worship.
There is no hadith on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sahih or even weak, that mentioned any intention that was said in the prayer or fasting out loud. Allah. So scholars agree that you don't have to say it, and or there is a great agreement, majority saying you don't have to say it, and even some went to as far as saying it is makruh to say it because Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam never said it. So you'll be doing something that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam never did. So if it is something that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never did, period, so therefore you should never do it. Wallahu a'lam. But there is only one with the Hajj, okay, it specifically, you know, about you go into for Hajj or Umrah, or you know, what kind of Hajj are you going to make? Umrah first, and then you know, take your ihram off, and you know, with tamattu' or with ifrad and with muqrin or so forth. You know, there's something about that only.
Yeah, you have to say that.
Yes, always. But in general, no. In any others, no. Wallahu
so, there's. There's.
It would be good if in Arab, inshallah.
Sheikh? Oh.
Sheikh, so it's makruh that I am a salat, the maqul, and I'm a niya salat is
sunnah. To pronounce your niya, there are some scholars go to that far and say it is makruh.
So it's better just to keep it inside.
Any side of you, yes. Allah knows what's in you. Oh. Yeah.
Even Ramadan, when we were growing up, we used to hear it early in the morning, Allahumma inna li'anani as-sawm wa la'at. But we hear it from other, when we're grown ups, or yes. Parents.
Yes. Just imagine you have a group of like 20 people here coming to a dhuhr prayer. Some of them, you know, sunnah, some of them dhuhr, some of them, you know, some of them traveling, so everybody, Allahu Akbar, no wait, as the dhuhr, after it was the sunnah, I have to say al-asr. But you don't have to announce that you are in the masjid. I'm talking about individual prayer.
No.
You are in the masjid. No, you are with the group. You don't say that because it's known what you're doing.
But where you are praying
in general, it is in the heart, inshallah.
See, there's something that we were taught. I'm not defending my thinking, yeah. my belief. I'm just saying we were taught.
But I'm giving you the majority opinion here. Okay, that because Rasulullah never did it, so therefore, you know, going saying it will be different than what Rasulullah said.
Sheikh, I don't know who runs the masjid, but on the door there's on the paper that says Nawaitu al-i'tikaf hatta khuruji min al-masjid. So I said, you know, advice to take that paper off.
Really?
Yeah.
That's from Ramadan. It's just a second. We put it, me and Muhammad Jawad, mm-hmm. but the idea to educate people that once you enter the masjid, even for 10 minutes, to sit down, you could have the intention of niyyah and you make i'tikaf. So you read it in your eyes. That does not mean you are shouted loud.
It's another word, Brother Lai, saying it is a da'wah for you to have the intention
right.
of making i'tikaf, whatever short of a time it is.
Right.
That is a good point
it's
that
like
you
some,
have.
Yeah, some masajid put nawaitu ala tawadda to remind the people when they go to make wudu, you know. But this is just for you, the reminder, not to say
it. Yeah, it is. This I can understand because of you might not have intention for i'tikaf as you're coming in. Okay, you can come in, stay, you know, an hour in the masjid during Ramadan and not have the niyyah of i'tikaf, and you do not get the reward for i'tikaf.
Right.
But if you read this and you enter with this niyyah, then you get a reward for i'tikaf for that period of time.
Yeah,
but I do not, you know, but you do not put it in the wudu, because the wudu, because you're going there and taking your sleeve out, that is enough for a niyyah intention. It is done. The intention. When you wake up for suhoor for Ramadan, because your alarm o'clock at night when you are adjusting it, that is your niyyah. Yes.
So what's the difference between him and I walking in here? He's at a i'tikaf, I am not. What is the i'tikaf if I can ask? Because we're all here to pray with a maghrib, with an isha. What is the i'tikaf? How he. I'm not talking about you, brother.
He's getting a reward, and I am not, because I didn't say or feel or intend.
We're talking about if you spend a period of time in the masjid. Like, you're coming here to pray, you're coming to pray and leaving.
How about if I were
but
to
if
come?
You're coming to stay for an hour or so, then if you have the intention for i'tikaf, you get
right.
the reward, inshallah.
Because if you're staying here, you are tired from standing outside waiting for the prayer and take a nap, you know, or just sitting here, you know, that's not a niyat i'tikaf. Without niyat i'tikaf, then you are just relaxing, right? But if you are here to mention Allah, remembers Allah, have i'tikaf mean isolate yourself from the people for the purpose.